Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National Avocational Rehabilitation conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the number one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded November 10th, 2015. I would now like to turn today's conference over to Michelle Leger to begin. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the National AVR call. This is Michelle Leger with the Ticket to Work program. Apologize for the delay there. We have some technical issues with getting our information up on GatherPlace. Again, welcome, and to start off, just under general announcements, we wanted to share with you a couple of upcoming closures that probably are closures there for you, for those of you who are working at the state office. Thanksgiving, Thursday, November the 26th, we will be closed, and then that's it, and that tomorrow, actually, believe it or not, Wednesday, November the 11th, we will be closed in honor of Veterans Day. We will have a December all-VR call, and we will make the announcements for closure for December and January during that call. Just in case, we wanted to give you a reminder for inclement weather, like a major snowstorm. Not that we're looking for one or asking for one in the month of November, but we just wanted to let you know that the Ticket to Work office, as you know, is located in McLean, Virginia, and it's considered part of the Washington Capitol Beltway. So we follow the U.S. Federal Office of Personnel policy for weather conditions that may impact roads. OPM provides an alert, red, yellow, and green, when there is going to be posting of closure. So you're welcome to use that website, but we also always notify on the Ticket to Work website when we are closed as well. So just wanted to give you that reminder. At this time, I would like to, for our agenda, we have cost reimbursement update, ticket portal update, and then we'll be closing with about 15 to 10 minutes on the upcoming job, a virtual job fair, which we're very, very excited about. Which was actually next week, the 18th and 19th. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Danielle Armstrong for cost reimbursement comments. Danielle?
Hello, everybody. Your cost reimbursement updates this month are actually going to come from Raquel Donaldson, who is, you should all be pretty familiar with because she is your payments help desk agent. So when you send in VR payment related things to the help desk, Raquel is usually the agent that you are corresponding with. Raquel?
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Raquel. I just have two quick topics to discuss. First, our current earnings that we're looking at. They're being reported through the third quarter of 2016. However, please keep in mind that some states may have not reported those earnings yet, so we can only approve what we see. Secondly, in regards to the cost formula for fiscal year 16, we are noticing that the states are beginning to send in claims with a VR closure date of October 2015. An email went out September 29th from me to all the SSA coordinators, just reminding you all that the cost formula for fiscal year 2016 needs to be submitted and approved. So if you haven't done so, we've asked all the technicians to just hold on to claims. They will not, I repeat, they will not be returned to the VR. They should not be just because your cost formula has not been approved yet. They will be held in our office until that information gets to us. If once we see them, I have been trying to shoot quick reminders to the VRs just to let them know that we have their claims and that we're still waiting on the cost formula. So the quicker you get those in, the quicker we can get your claims processed for fiscal year 16. That's it. Thanks so much.
I'm now going to turn it over for ticket portal update by Katie Streisinger. And we will be sharing with you the list of questions that we received from you during the last call. Katie has been great at responding to those questions, and we will have that list posted following the call. Right now, Katie's just going to give us an overview of some of the major issues that many of you had questions about during the, again, during the October call. Katie?
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to go over a couple of things that came up on the last call. I do want to start with the first item, which is a production problem. Some of you may have seen the error code TA99 in the portal when you try to process a ticket assignment, either, you know, one at a time or in your batch files. We had a release this past weekend, which should have fixed the entire issue, but it fixed about, we'll say, 90 to 95% of the issues. So we are hoping to have an emergency release this weekend to correct the problem. I will be sending an announcement out, and we will update the portal when that's finally corrected. It's up to you if you want to take a stab at it and hope that the beneficiaries you're trying to assign don't get that error, but I would advise waiting another week. We are not going to penalize you for sending your files in late for any in any case, because we do have a production problem that we are aware of. The TA99 code pretty much says the job failed and didn't update to our database, and that's no fault on the information you're sending or what the system is trying to do. It just didn't work on the back end. Like I said, there's some cases we're going through right now, but some are not. So if you want to wait and hold off and prevent some of those errors from coming back on your file, I do advise waiting. I'll put an announcement in the portal when that has been fixed. To let you know, I do hope to have something for you next week so you can continue processing your files. On the subject of processing your files, right now the ticket portal only allows you to see file uploads in the last 30 days. We have asked for that to be extended to 60 days. I don't expect that change until we have our December release. That's mid-December. So at this time, you can only see anything you have uploaded and the results in the last 30 days. If you cannot find a report that you need to do your research or your analysis files, please do send an email to the VR help desk, and we can get you a copy of that results file for you to upload. But once again, we're only extending it to 60 days, so it's not going to buy you too much more time. You do need to make sure that when you get the alert that the file is ready, that you do try to download it to your system or save it somewhere, because it is not going to be in the portal that long. We cannot store it up there for that long because a lot of the files are quite large. Another question I've gotten is about TPRs. There is currently a moratorium on TPRs. There are no pending TPRs. There are no TPRs we are expecting you to respond to. No new notices have gotten out to beneficiaries. We haven't done any new selections. You'll be notified before we begin TPR. And we're going to be providing training materials on how you can provide TPR assistance, as well as updating our materials on the secure training site, so you will know how to provide assistance to your beneficiaries. There is nothing for anyone to do at this time on TPR because that is not gone live yet. If you get in your return file something about no information available, that just means that the beneficiary is not a ticket beneficiary. If you currently resigned a transaction for a ticket beneficiary, you know, if you get the failure that they're not assignable because they don't have a ticket, then yes, on the next file, do send it again. But if that is not your procedure, then you do not need to submit that again. Let's see what else. I'm kind of skating the question. A question I've gotten is about the closure code. Right now, the portal only accepts YN26 or 28, and it does not accept 30. We are planning to change that in a future release. I'm hoping December, but I don't want to commit to that. So hopefully you'll only have to do it for the time being and go in and manually change your 30s to 28. We did hear your comments about that, and we are trying to adjust the system accordingly. 30 is a valid code. So just so you know, we do plan to make that change in the future, but for now, until that has been modified, you do need to continue to change your codes. Right now, the portal only accepts YN26 or 28 as valid codes for closures. And let's see what else. There was a question that came on the last call. What was the length of the file ID that you were allowed to use to name your unique file that you upload? The system has 12 character limits. And that is about all I have. I am on the call if anybody has questions at the end of this presentation. And you can always submit your questions to the VR Help Desk, and you can direct it to me, Katie, and it will get to me so I can help answer your questions. We are, as Michelle mentioned, going to post the questions in their entirety up for you to view so you can read through the answers, because I know sometimes they go a little fast and it is hard to get a lot of information at one time. So I will send it back to Michelle.
Thank you, Katie. And we, as we said, we will get this list out to everyone. We are having a network problem in terms of looking and viewing your chat questions. And so I'm going to ask the operator if we can take three questions now for Katie before we go on to our next agenda item. Operator, do you want to open up the phone line? I just canceled it. Right now I see nothing on the chat line, so I have to believe there are questions out there, and I just want to make sure we are responding to them.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. And there are no audio questions at this time.
Oh, well, then maybe my chat feature is. We are showing an error message, so we just wanted to double check. We will open up the phone lines at the end of the call, but, again, just wanting to make sure we're responding to your concerns. All right. Thank you, operator, and thank you, Katie. So we're now going to move over. I do see a new question. I hit the – okay, no, it's no question for Katie. Okay, thank you, Katie. We're going to move on now to our, basically the remaining of our call based off of the questions that we get from you, state VR agencies, to our virtual job fair. We are now posting our presenters from BAS, Jamie Riddick and Don Jones, and Jamie will be walking us through the new, or not new, but the post-it virtual job fair guide. And Jim, I'm going to ask you, do you see that post-it up on Gather Place?
I don't. I'm still seeing the agenda.
Okay. We're getting it set up so you can see it.
Thank you. And while they work on that, just wanted to remind everybody that the fair is next week on Wednesday the 18th from 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time and Thursday the 19th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Our employer list is continuing to grow. We now have 12 employers that will be represented at the event, and combined they have more several thousand job openings, and they're excited to participate in this event and are specifically looking to hire individuals with disabilities. Those companies include Anthem, BMO Harris, Boston Scientific, CACI, CSX, Enterprise, General Motors, Grainger, Kaiser Permanente, McKesson, TD Bank, and Turner Construction. And so from that list, you can gather there's quite a wide range of industries represented, and their jobs are equally as vast in not only type of work, but the education level necessary and also the skills necessary. I've been combing through the jobs and formatting them up on the job site, and it really truly is a range from a high school diploma or equivalent up to bachelor's degrees, and then also no experience necessary, all the way up to some positions require 10-plus years. So I think there's a great mix. There was a message distributed on Friday, and it's posted to the Your Ticket to Work website with the details on the employers and links to their open positions if anyone wants to view them before the event. As a reminder, to be eligible for the event, candidates must receive Social Security disability benefits and have assigned their ticket to a service provider. We're depending on you all to help identify the candidates that qualify, and then to help them through the registration process, which includes signing that consent form. The consent form should be submitted to you as the VR. You do not need to submit it to Social Security in any way. You'll just file that using whatever secure means you hold or file your paperwork. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to get their registration site up on GatherPlace, but the registration site's a pretty, I think, straightforward questionnaire, a little bit of information about the participant and whether or not they'll be using a screen reader to participate in the event. If you have questions or your beneficiaries have questions about that step, please email us at vjs@choosework.net, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. In addition to the consent form, the other thing we'd like to remind you all is that we do need your help in protecting beneficiaries' PII. There'll be reminders in the virtual job fair, but we're also going to ask that you you remind them that they shouldn't share unnecessary PII, including their SSN, while talking with recruiters, and also that they don't have their Social Security number or other unnecessary PII on their resume. We understand that, you know, names and phone numbers and addresses may be necessary, but just to help us ensure that they're not sharing things that don't need to be shared. I see our guide is up on GatherPlace now. That guide, the candidate, it's called our Candidate or Participant Success Guide, includes screenshots of the environment or the virtual job fair and what will be expected once you enter the fair and how to navigate it. That guide will include, it will be sent to all participants 1 week, all registered participants 1 week before the event starts, and then again the day before and the morning of the event. And that guide will show how to set up a profile and update your resume. It shows the homepage or welcome screen of the event, the find job section where it lists all the job postings that are spotlighted in the event. You'll see that each employer spotlights a handful of jobs, but then also has a link to their full job site where many more, hundred usually, if not thousands of jobs will be posted. The guide also includes the employer booths. Right now we have them listed in there as employer A, B, C, D, and E, but they'll actually be branded with the employer's names or logos of those actually participating in the event. And within those booths, you'll be able to learn more about the employers. That's where the representatives or recruiters will be available to talk with via group chats or private instant messages. And they'll also, some I believe are including videos, overview documents or background materials about the company. And that's the place that you'll really engage with the individuals. I think the screen showing right now, that circled area, is the recruiters. You'll see the recruiters in the booth and be able to click on them to talk with them. In addition to the employer booths, we will have two resource booths. They are for advice. One will be legal advice, and the second will be benefits counseling. And those will be staffed by members of WIPA projects and PABS organizations. We have a couple dozen volunteers to support each of those booths, so hopefully if beneficiaries or even you as a provider have any questions, there'll be individuals on hand to help. And a few other features of the virtual job fair, we'll have a library where there will be resources, some general Social Security information, like the Red Book, and then we'll also have some information about accommodations and just frequently asked questions and resources that can help beneficiaries throughout the event. There's a communication center where participants can save or exchange V-cards or contact information with the recruiters if they so desire and get notifications if they receive that from individuals. And then also there's a help desk where technical representatives will be available to help with any troubleshooting during the actual event. What you're seeing on the screen now is some of it, details on how to initiate the private chat and search features within the event. I won't go through the details of that now, but the guide, along with the orientation video that's available in the virtual job fair, Hopefully everyone will be able to navigate it pretty easily. I think that's about everything we wanted to share today. We're happy to take any questions. And again, if there's any other questions beyond this call or you think of them later or next week before the event, please don't hesitate to email us at vjs@choosework.net so we can hopefully work everything out and get as many individuals participating in the event as possible.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question.
Oh, go ahead, operator. We have someone that called in.
Yes, our first question comes from the line of Dawn Duval.
Hi, this is Dawn. Actually, I had a number of questions. The first one I had was about when I submit my data file in the portal, it tells me how many rows were received, and then just about as many number of errors. What does the errors mean?
Hi, this is Katie. The portal was designed with the assumption that every transaction you submit is going to result either in a case opening or a case closure. Anything that does not result in a successful opening or closure is considered an error. So if you submitted 100 records and 98 were errors, that lets you know that maybe only 2 of your cases got assigned.
I'm not sure I understand what that means. So, like, the ones that were not assigned maybe were closures or not taken over yet?
Most of the files that I just that I've looked through, a lot of CRs submit beneficiaries on the file every month with the date in the anticipation of the beneficiary having a ticket eventually so that they
right.
can open the case once there's a ticket. If the
okay.
beneficiary is not a ticket holder, you're going to get an error because they did not There's
oh,
no ticket
okay.
for us to connect it with. So a lot of your errors are probably they don't have a ticket yet.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, and then when the information, when the data is processed and it comes back, there's no headers. Is there any way to put headers in there so that the information that's not very obvious, like Social Security number, so that it tells us what that information is?
At the time, there's no plan to do that. That would be a major enhancement, and we're working on pushing VR cost reimbursement payments in the portal at that time. So, I mean, I'll take it on our wish list, but it's not.
Yeah, that would be great if it could be looked at in the future.
Okay,
and then just one other quick question. When I'm in the section about your EN or SVR, it's mm-hmm. got a main mailing address link, and I click on that, and it's not correct. Our office has moved. How do I correct that? I couldn't figure that out.
You need to contact the VR help desk, and we'll correct it for you. You cannot directly update it in the portal.
Okay, and I just need to specify in the portal it's incorrect because I have corrected it with, you know, like the claims processing unit and all of that. So I just need to specify that it's wrong in the portal.
That it's the mailing address is wrong in the portal.
Okay.
And we can fix that for you.
And
just make sure you put exactly what you want in there.
Okay. And I lied. I have one more quick question. The portal seems to time out in, like, 15 minutes or so. Is there any way to extend that to, like, 30 minutes?
You should get a pop-up telling you that you need to hit, I swear, I can't remember, either okay or yes, but it tells you that your time's about to run out, and you just need to touch on the dialog box that warns you your time's running out. It's a security measure to make sure you're a real person when you're sitting at the computer.
Right.
We don't want you to walk away from the computer and then have someone else sit down. So it is, but you should be getting some kind of box warning you that you haven't done anything and you
okay.
need to keep working. Have you
I
seen
need
that box?
To mention it. I'm not sure if I have or not. I just know that I get logged out frequently and I have to redo all that and it's kind of
well, maybe
you're just playing
the screen. Yeah, you just need to check back every, I know, when I've been in there in the testing version I have, you know, you have to kind of click around. If you're planning to be in there for a long time, you need to every couple minutes go in there, click something, do something in there so it knows you're a person and you're in there. Otherwise, it will just time you out.
Okay.
This is a security
right.
measure.
Okay. But can I ask one more question? That'll be my last one.
go ahead.
I've oftentimes clicked on the question mark for table help. And it says no help available on every one of those help icons. Is that something you guys are going to be filling in eventually?
Oh, yes, yes. We are definitely filling that in eventually.
Okay, so it's just that it's new at this point, and you're working on that.
Yes. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
I want to turn it back over to the virtual job fair, our speakers, Jamie and Don. Jamie, we have questions regarding the beneficiary client consent form. Can you walk us through how VR agencies, offices should handle that, and are we violating the beneficiary's PII in any way, and how should we handle that, or how should the VR offices handle that?
Certainly. The consent form, the purpose of it is so that beneficiaries are aware that by participating in the job fair, they will be sharing some information. How much they share and what they share is really up to them. While we want to limit unnecessary sharing of PII, there is that need for some to be shared. And so the consent form, we've pre-populated it with information about the job fair. That way it's specific to the fair, and so that hopefully individuals have a clear understanding of what they can share. And so when individuals first log in, they're encouraged to set up a profile and upload their resume. Those details are only viewable to the recruiters. They're not available to the other participants. And so that's the first step. That is optional, but by having a resume there, it does enable the recruiters to have a better understanding of who they're talking with and possibly direct the conversation to opportunities that the individual may be well suited for. Then for the consent form, participants should have to sign it with a physical or wet signature. They have to actually put pen to paper. A typed signature is not sufficient. And then that should be submitted to the VR via whatever your normal secure means are for handling information with PII. I believe many of your clients have already signed a version of this consent form that's not pre-populated. And so however you facilitated that process in the past and have stored that document, you should use those same means now. And they do need to complete the second form, even if they've done one in the past, as I said, because it is pre-populated with information specific to this virtual job fair event. And then that form should be stored by you, the VR. Social Security does not need a copy of it, but you should keep it in your files for that participant. And then within the event, in addition to the profile and resume, participants can choose to talk with recruiters via group chats, which are public, or instant message. The instant message is private. It's one-on-one. Only the recruiter can see the person and the discussion. The group chat is public, and so if a person chooses to participate in it, they do not have to, then their name, what they say will be connected to their name. It's, as I said, optional, and while there is an option for a participant to set up an alias, so to speak. When they set up their profile, they can change their name or put something else there. However, it's important to keep in mind that that also could create confusion among between the recruiters when they're not sure who they're talking with. And so that's something that each individual has to determine for themselves what they're comfortable with. We would encourage you to think about it like an actual in-person job fair. You know, if you were standing there talking in a group, a lot of people would have name tags on. They might see your name, and that's the extent of it. The group chat is really the same thing, just online. Instead of seeing your face and your name, they're only seeing your name. But, any resume data, as I said before, and profile information is limited to being viewed only by the recruiters. So there's the candidate-to-candidate interaction is limited to those group chats if a person chooses to participate in them. They can view them and not participate, not add to the discussion if they don't want to.
Thank you, Jamie. That's very helpful. I know that we sent out a gov delivery message out on November the 6th with a listing of many of the federal contractors that are participating. Has that list increased since that notice went out? How many employers do you believe will be participating next week?
I think there's been one or two additional employers since that list went out, and we anticipate at most, I believe, one or two more, if at all. And so once we get the final jobs, we will be able to send out an updated list with all the jobs included as you receive it. We're just working with these last few employers to try and get everything in line.
Okay. Can beneficiaries register before the 18th for the virtual job fair?
Yes, registration's open now, and will stay open through the event. And so if someone, you know, the morning of the 19th wants to participate, they absolutely can. Once they complete their registration form and submit, they will be taken to a login page that says that the event is closed, and that's because it's not yet the 18th. That site, they won't be able to actually log in until the 18th to set up their profile or begin talking with recruiters, but registration is open from now through the event, and then the event will open on the 18th.
And so you're receiving registrations now. Is your numbers increasing each day?
Yes, slowly but steadily. We're up to about right around 100 beneficiaries and I think 20 or so service providers. As a VR, you're all welcome to register as yourself or your organization. If you do, we just ask that on the registration form, you do indicate that you're a representative of a VR and not a beneficiary. That way we can track how many of each group is participating. But you're certainly welcome to register and then log into the event and explore. And also that way for future, you can describe the event to your beneficiaries and help them understand what happens.
Great. That concludes our questions on this end. Are there any other comments that you might have that we haven't covered yet? And Don, I know you're on the call. Are there any from our prior call that we want to share today?
I think that's everything that I had in my notes. I just like to reiterate that, you know, this I think can be a great event, and I think the employers that I've been talking to are very excited and looking forward to this. For a lot of them, this is an important initiative for them, and they're really interested in meeting our beneficiaries, and so we hope you can get your beneficiaries that you think are ready to participate in the event, and if you have questions, please email us.
I'm sorry, Jamie. This is Laura from Social Security. Just a quick question. You talk about how long a beneficiary has required to have their ticket assigned before they can participate in the event?
Absolutely. There isn't a requirement for amount of time. So once as long as their ticket's assigned, if they're ready and able to go to work, they can participate in the fair. And I would leave that to be between the VR or EN and the beneficiary. But if you have a new client come on board that fits the requirements of having assigned their ticket and being ready to work, then we certainly welcome them to the event.
And we do have an audio question from the line of Adia Brown.
Yes, please go ahead.
It was a question for Natalie, but if she's gone, that's okay.
All right, thank you.
And we do have a question from the line of Eugenia Cox.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi, it's Eugenia. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
The first question I have is on the virtual jobs fair. I sent it out to our counselors, and the question came back is this a job fair only for Social Security beneficiaries, or can the other 60% of the people we serve register for this?
They have a documented disability.
Disability beneficiaries that are participating in the ticket program.
Okay, so nobody else can call in, just beneficiaries?
Correct.
Okay. And then for as far as the portal, I wanted to say that when you are actually adding somebody manually with a plan date, and then you add them in, and then you're trying to enter a closure date, if you do those back-to-back, it kicks you out completely out of the system. Is Katie still there?
She might be on
Katie, this is Michelle. Is your phone line on mute?
Oh, hi, yeah, it was. I was also drinking a glass of water, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I haven't heard that happening before.
Yeah. We can hear and hear you.
Me or Katie?
Katie, we couldn't hear your response.
Oh, I was just saying I have not heard of that problem before. I'll have them check it out and see if we can recreate it.
Yeah, and if you do it back to back, it does it every time. It literally kicks you out of the whole thing. You have to go and log in all over again.
But does it pop up the closure?
Yeah, once you go back in and do the closure after you log back in.
You have to redo the closure again to check before. It doesn't actually do the closure.
It doesn't do the closure. It actually just kicks you out completely.
Okay, can check before it. Okay, I was just curious if the closure actually happened and then you go back Okay.
And then the other question I had was, we had emailed Desiree and the helpline concerns about the website, the Tickets to Work website, and our contact information. We have all our offices listed, but when a beneficiary goes in and sees the list of all our offices, the only thing that's there is, you know, 20 entries of my name and phone number. There's no locations listed on the main page. And so people are not knowing if we have an office in those areas, and that was what the intent of the directory was, to list all of our offices. The only way to know is to go into each individual ones to see where the location is. Is anybody going to be fixing that or looking at it or...
You know, this is Katie. I can speak to one point of it. It is based on how the person searches the list, and I believe all of your locations are set up to serve the entire state. So if anybody types in their zip code and their zip code is in the state of Oregon, then they will see all of the addresses show up. If that's something you want to tweak and make certain offices show up for certain zip codes, we can certainly help you fix that.
But no, it's actually, most of our people just type in Oregon to see what offices are available in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And they call and they say, well, you're listed 15 times, but there's no locations listed.
Right, because the main listing shows the name.
Mm-hmm.
That is by design, if Laura or someone else wanted to speak to that.
Yes.
This is Laura. Don, are you still on?
Yeah.
No, I was actually asking for Don Jones. Are you still on?
Yes, I'm here.
No, this is... Oh, okay.
Did you hear the question, Don?
No, I did not.
I'm sorry, Eugenia, could you just repeat your question?
When you go in and you pull up Oregon, if somebody goes in and says, I want to see all the ENs that are available in Oregon, you'll see Oregon Vocational Rehabilitation listed... I don't know, 20 times or however many offices we have, and it says Oregon Vocational Rehabilitation, my name and my phone number. No locations listed at all on the main page. You just have me listed 15 times, 20 times. The intent of what we were doing is to say Vocational Rehabilitation, Ontario, Oregon. Vocational Rehabilitation, Albany, Oregon. And that's how it was. Until just recently when I had a beneficiary call me and say that she was so frustrated because she just saw my name 20 times. She had no idea if there was an office in her area.
Yeah, thank you, Gina, for that comment. And we completely understand that as a concern. What we recommend you do, and we've been working with ORDAs and with various service providers to try to fix this. I believe this happened with the switch to ITOPS, there were some changes in terms of how names were mapped within the system. So what you'll want to do is work with the VR help desk and basically have them tell them how you want your information listed. And you're exactly right, that the way that we've recommended, because what we did, there's a reason why we hit the address, and that's because for many employment networks as well as other organizations, there's a lot of variation in terms of that address. That address might or might not be the physical location by which a person is going to receive services, particularly with a virtual EN or a nationwide EN, where that location that is listed in there is not necessarily where a person is going to get services. That's why we decided to move that. However, that does mean that the name of the service provider that is listed there needs to be meaningful to the beneficiary. So what we've been recommending is, for example, in the case of vocational rehabilitation agencies with locations, that you work with the VR help desk and with the ITOPS crew so that you can get your listing. So it says just that, you know, Oregon Department of Vocation, maybe start with, you know, figure out what your preference is, but in terms to make sure that the location and the name of the VR is both there. So it could be using an acronym for Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, like OVR, Olympia, something like that.
Yeah.
So I would work with them. And also, yeah, having you listed for every single person, that, again, is a data issue within the data within ITOPS. If there are different points of contact that should be mapped to those various offices, you'll want to go ahead and work with them on that. We definitely understand it's an issue with the transition, and we've been trying to work, all parties involved have been trying to work to improve that issue.
Yeah, and this is only going to be for the state VR agencies that have their listing all their locations, not just one listing for their office.
Absolutely. I mean, in a perfect world, we'd have that consistent between all states, but that's not every state has a different preference in terms of how they approach it.
Okay, that was all my questions.
This is Katie. I did want to chime in. So the way we can either work it one or two ways. You can go through and tell us how you want it to look on a site-by-site basis, or if you want, you can email the help desk, and we can actually show you what we have listed, and you can tell us what you want it to say instead.
Yeah.
So
we try not to abbreviate, because people don't know the abbreviation.
So the thing that we are working against, though, there is a 40-character limit for the name that appears. So that is where we are looking to you and the other agents here on the call, is if you go to the TubeWorks site and you don't like what's appearing there in the name, you need to tell us what to change it to, because we on our side are not going to make the assumption that we should start abbreviating your company's in your agency, you know, without your consent. We don't want to make changes without you telling us this is what you want. So if you can come up with something for all of your sites within 40 characters, we can update that for you and get it refreshed and fixed in a pretty quick turnaround.
Okay.
And then the same thing,
what's
wrong.
And when things like that change, if somebody could give us a heads up, I had to find out from the beneficiary that was really upset. So, you know, if something like that, something major like that happens, where we think that our listings and our directories are still the same as they always have been and we never knew there was a change, you know, a heads up would be really appreciated.
Sure. There was a Gov delivery note that did go out in June, which talked about some updates and some upcoming updates. The transition to ITOPS happened in mid-September. You're absolutely correct. We probably should have been a little more clear in terms of communicating that change at that particular point, knowing that there were some changes in terms of data that would have affected that. But I'm sure that there will be attention taken to make sure that those changes are better communicated in the future.
Okay. Thank you. So just call the help desk then.
Yes.
Be our help desk. Okay.
Thanks for the feed.
Our next question comes from the line of Gina Holt.
Hi, I'll try to make it fast. I just have a couple quick questions. One, with the virtual job fair, are we going to find out? I heard there are some jobs in Wisconsin, so I was just wondering, are we going to find out in what areas so that we can alert our offices in those areas?
Yes, if you visit that the announcement that's on the website, the Your Ticket to Work website, or they may have also included the link. It looks like they included the link in the chat. There's a Word document or a PDF that includes all the employers so far and links to their jobs, so you can see all the jobs that will be included.
Okay, so it would list the specific location.
Right. This is Michelle. It's actually the Friday, November the 6th, Gov delivery message. If you keep them by dates, just look for Friday, November the 6th. And as Jamie was saying, there's a link with an underlying list of jobs.
Okay.
Trading companies.
Okay. Yeah, because I've seen, like, the employers, but, you know, like, so if they're, like, in, say, the Eau Claire area or the Madison area, so we can target, like, those specific BR offices.
Yeah, you can each employer's job site, if they're openly promoting all of their jobs, was included in that document. And so by checking out their websites, it'll tell you where specifically they have jobs.
Okay. Then my next question is on the cost formula sheet. So you want the 2016 cost formula sheet in now, because lots of times we don't get that until spring. And if we don't get it in, our claims are going to be held. Did I understand that correctly, Raquel?
Yes. Hi, Dina. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good. We can't approve, we can't even, you know, put them in the system until your 2016 fiscal year cost formula has been reviewed by me and approved, and those numbers have been input into our system.
Okay.
But like I was saying, the claims won't be returned to you. I'm just giving you a heads up to let you know that I haven't seen many, but they are starting to come in with the closure date of October 2015 and later. So
okay.
It's just a opportunity for you all to give your finance department or whoever does your cost formula a heads up to have it submitted.
Okay. All right. And then my last question is, Katie, I submitted in a question regarding the portal to you like well over a week ago through the VR help desk, because honestly I lost your email and I never got a response back. So is it better to submit it directly to you through your email or through the VR help desk?
This is Katie. Please do keep sending to the VR help desk. I actually have another person helping me with these email issues. So if you send it to the VR help desk box, you'll get more than one eyeball on it.
Okay.
This is Michelle. Michelle. Hey, Michelle. This is Danielle.
Yes.
Just wanted to. In response to Gina's question, Katie has a couple people that work with her to answer the emails. So when they come directly into the help desk, they all have access to it. So I just didn't want her to think that it's going from the help desk, being sent somewhere else, making it an extra step. They have access to the help desk, so they see when it comes in and they can respond directly to it, just so you know it's not it's not being sent off somewhere else.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all.
And our next question comes from the line of Allison Snyderman.
Hello, please go ahead.
Hello.
Allison, hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
My question was, I missed the last webinar or phone Ticket to Work phone call last month, and I was just wondering if, I know that you guys said that anyone could be able to go to the job there, but I'm very confused if I could just be able to apply in such a short amount of time.
Hello, caller. Are you with the state VR agency?
Excuse me?
Yes. What state VR agency are you calling from? Because we can talk with you after the call.
Okay. I'm from New York.
All right. We will give you a call after the call and follow up with you. You're with the general or blind? Which agency are you with at the state office?
I'm getting I'm on disability.
Oh, okay, caller. Let's see, how can I get you some information? Lori, let me get you an email box.
so we can get you a follow-up. Just a second. I'll give you the phone number so that you can go and call back. So, Lori, do you know that by heart?
Sure. Actually, caller, do you have internet access?
I do.
If you go if you go to www.choosework.net, you will see the number to the Ticket to Work call center, and you will also find under the section called Find a Job, you'll see information about our virtual job fair.
Okay. So just go through that, and then I guess I'll learn what happened.
Sure. If you go on that website, there's the number to our Ticket to Work call center, and
I can call someone.
Right, and those the people who enter the phone there can help you and give you information. And also on that website, you'll see under there's a section called Find a Job, and you'll see lots of information about the Ticket to Work job fair.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you, caller, and good luck. Another call before we conclude our November call. Gracious.
Yes, we do have a question from the line of Katie Smirden.
Yes. Hello there.
Hey, yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. I had a couple little questions. One regarding the portal.
Portal? Okay, go ahead, please.
The timeout issue. Sometimes it gives you 5 minutes and you can click the button. Other times it would just say, we're sorry, the session has timed out due to inactivity, although I'm actually using it. So it varies. I don't know why it is a short time, but I was hoping maybe we could get an extension on the time length also. Secondly, if I were to do a batch file for checking ticket assignability, how large of a batch can I do at one time to check assignability, and what does it return?
This is Katie. You can do up to 100,000 records.
Oh, for assignability?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does it return? What information? Just name, or does it say anything on how many months of earnings? Or?
No, we do not provide any earnings information. It would just tell you whether or not the ticket is assignable.
Oh, okay. All righty. Okay. And then also I just wanted to verify, I thought I heard that you mentioned that the earnings information is current up to the third quarter of 15, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. So hopefully we can just get a little extension because I do get kicked off even when I'm actively using it. I don't always get the 5-minute warning.
And our next question comes from the mind of Eric Schmidt.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hey, good. Can you hear me?
Yes, and operator, okay. This will be our last question for the call. We're past the hour. Go ahead, Eric.
Great, I'll make it quick. I was just wondering if we're going to do another PPR list. I know some folks didn't find it terribly useful, but I actually manually went through that list and was able to get several claims out of it. So I'm willing to do it again until we get something better. So I was just trying to find out if we're going to do another list.
Desiree, are you there?
Yes, I am. Actually, we're not planning to do another list, but we are working feverishly towards putting ourselves in a position to eventually do CUBRA again.
Oh, that'd be great.
But, I mean, that would still be a ways off, but we actually were not planning to redo the PPR.
Okay, that's fine. Just wanted to check and see because I know it had been more than 3 months. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So thank you, everyone, for calling in today. Again, we will have the all VR call questions posted on our website. And we will please check your gov delivery message, all the contacts, and all the information from our presenters today as part of the gov delivery message sent out on November the 6th. We do have, there is a link to the YouTube that you can just sit back and listen to the process and the procedures. We also have the hard copy guide that you can look at and share with your staff on the steps for the virtual job fair. Again, that's next week, Wednesday and Thursday. So we're looking at a great turnout and success for our beneficiaries that we serve under the Ticket to Work program. In closing, I just want to say thank you to any of our veterans that are on the call today and any family members or friends that you have as servicemen and women. Veterans Day is tomorrow, and we just want to say thank you to each of them. And for family gatherings, it's that time again, so happy Thanksgiving. Don't overindulge, but you can if you could still work out. That's okay. We will have our next call on December the 8th, and we hope that all of you have a good day. Thank you very much. This concludes our call.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.